listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're talking about bookmarks. We've talked about them before. We have other things to say.
We're doing a deep dive into bookmarks, but first.
Deep dive into bookmarks, just what you needed. If you thought this show was cool, today's the day you learn it's not.
I don't know. I feel like after the snack episode, really things have gone. Maybe it's after the Bird Books episode, things have kind of gone
downhill.
But first, what are you reading, Bria?
I have to talk about a book that I read that I just thought was fantastic. It's a book, it's a graphic novel called Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter by David Destmalchian. David is an actor who you might know from a number of movies where he plays a spooky, creepy bad guy. He always seems to be playing
a bad guy.
Hey,
we need a spooky, creepy bad guy.
Call him David Destmalchian. he's been in a bunch of stuff. He's a great actor. But he wrote this book called Count Crowley that just really blew me away. It came out this year. The art is done by Lucas Kettner. And I think our listeners would really enjoy it because it is about a woman who ends up in, like, she's an alcoholic and has all these problems and was working as a journalist at her local TV station, and through a series of events ends up hosting this nightly, like, creature feature thing, and she has to, like, dress up for it, and it's, like, embarrassing and she doesn't want to do it, you know, where it's like one of those sort of like Elvira situations, right? And then what she discovers is that the person who was hosting it before her, Count Crowley, is this appointed hunter of monsters, and monsters are real, which is a similar, obviously, arc to the book I wrote. And basically, she has to, like, figure out what to do now that she's in charge of this, like, nightly movie night on cable access kind of thing, but also has to deal with the fact that monsters exist. And this is like, I read the collection of four. There were four books that came out on Dark Horse, and this four individual issues. So this is the trade that I think probably just came out. But it's really great. The art is really cool. And it also, I think it's really good for those who are looking for a Halloweenish book, a spooky Halloweenish book, who are kind of scaredy cats, because it's not super scary, but it has like fun throwback stuff that I think people would really like. You know, like that late night, you know, like local horror host kind of thing is really funny to me. And I think that this really captures that really well. What are you reading, Mallory?
Several things. One, I'm excited because I had to look this up and I was like, this guy sounds familiar. It's because he was in Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody who was ever in Twin Peaks, I'm like, okay, yeah.
And you would love this book, Mallory. It's right. It's totally up your alley.
I'm looking at it and I'm excited because she's holding a bottle of bourbon on the cover.
Yes. Well, she is an alcoholic. So there is.
Oh, well, okay.
She's
there
an
you
alcoholic.
Go.
She's kind of surly, but then she has to like figure out this monster issue. You would just really, really dig it, I think. You're right. He is in Twin Peaks. I forgot about that.
And it's funny, so often you and I are reading similar things when we talk about them on the show.
Oh, that's right.
Because I am also reading a spooky graphic novel, but this one is YA, and it is also really great for folks who want some Halloween-y times in their lives but are not ready for super scary. It's called Mason Mooney, Paranormal Investigator by Sierra Miller, and the art is amazing. We were going to pick up comics the other day, and I just picked this up off of the new release shelf because I was like, this looks amazing. I don't need to know anything about it. It's about this small town called Grimbrook, and like all a bunch of spooky things happen in this town. And the main character is this teenage boy named Mason Mooney, and he is a paranormal investigator. He thinks he is the number one in the town, but he's not. There is a competing paranormal investigative group that has their own TV show of like sexy teens, and he hates them very, very much because he's not part of them, and he resents them for being handsome and having their own TV show. But so when he gets a letter from a girl in the town who is being plagued by a ghost in her house, he goes to help her out. And it is truly so funny and adorable. Okay. It was like the kind of graphic novel that I kept showing Jeremy panels of it because I was like, look how cute this is. Look how funny this is. It's just so much fun. Again, the art is really, really beautiful. And it's the first one of a series, which I'm really, really excited about. If you were looking for something for you or your kids, that's just like, there's all kinds of spooky, cool stuff. And like in the background, because he's a monster hunter, there's like pictures of like Bigfoot memorabilia and aliens and stuff and one of the things in the story is that he, to be braver, because he's kind of a baby, he had a witch curse him. So he carries his heart around in a jar so he won't be scared. So his heart's not connected to him.
Oh, but
his heart is kind of like it's like a buddy cop. Cause whenever he's doing something stupid or mean, his heart starts thumping and he's like, shut up. I'm trying to investigate. It's really adorable. It's so much fun. So that's Mason Mooney, Paranormal Investigator by Sierra Miller.
And mine's Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter by David Desmalchin. The art's by Lucas Kettner.
Gotta investigate those monsters. So we have some follow-up. We love when folks reach out and give us some follow-up on feedback. So if you remember, Jennifer asked us a question a few weeks ago. She had done one of those like, oh, the folks wrap up a book and you can't see the cover and you have to buy it. And it's like an unknown date with a book. And she opened up hers and got an ARC.
Right.
Was like feeling very conflicted about spending money on it in the store selling it to her. So we got some feedback. We have some follow-up. So Jennifer says, I wanted to give you an update on the question you featured on episode 173 about my buying an ARC accidentally through a blind date with a book display. Some background information. One, the bookstore sells new books only, not used. Two, I reached out to the bookstore and all the money from the ARC selling displays, like the unknown date with a book thing, goes directly to their Literary Coalition nonprofit, not to operating funds for the store. So it is going directly to support the literary community, So first off, that's awesome. Honestly, that's kind of a really, knowing that, how cool is that for a book to help raise money for a nonprofit by selling off their ARCs?
I think
is really, really fun and really, really cute. Problem for Jennifer is Jennifer says, I unfortunately did not like the book. However, thanks to another one of your episodes a while back, I realized that it's not because it's a bad book, but because it's a genre that I'm not particularly fond of. So in that spirit, I did give it a good rating and a review, hoping it compares a review that compares it to similar books in that same genre, hopefully leading readers to the right book. Thank you for featuring my question. It truly did help me feel better by giving me real advice that I actually took. You've absolved my book guilt. Hooray!
Yay!
One, I'm glad that Jennifer has no more book guilt, because like we said before, this was not her fault, but I'm also really glad that she took our advice, emailed the store to find out what was actually going on, and to find out all this money is going to a literary nonprofit. That is awesome. It is so, so great. And I think that is a fun thing for bookstores to do. But again, folks, if you are in similar situations, there's no problem to reach out and ask. And most of the time you'll get your answers. You'll figure things out.
And Emma wrote in about a cool virtual book event, which we talked about virtual book events last week, maybe? Who could say?
Yes. And I want to say thank you, because some of the folks that are Reading Glasses listeners came to my virtual Disney event, and it was really, really fun.
So Emma wrote in and said, I just wanted to share in a cool virtual book virtual event series that I think readers of the show might be interested in. It's called The Short Story Club, and every month or so they have an author, typically one who writes speculative fiction, do a virtual Q&A with readers about one of their short stories. Tickets range in price from free to pay what you want donation that supports an indie bookstore in San Francisco. The link to their website, which we'll link to, is shortstory.club, which sounds really cool.
That sounds awesome. And then Kelly wrote in with a wheelhouse, which is Alice in Wonderland retellings, which I also really like. They're really, really fun. Underwater horror, especially if there are mermaids. Mm. Fairy stories where the fairies are very dark and strange. Nonfiction books about Shakespeare's First Folio. This is such a specific wheelhouse, and I love it. Fiction books where the characters love and or perform Shakespeare plays. Books about 18th century exploration in Alaska, both fiction and nonfiction. books where everything in the story seems to dismiss any proof of magic, and yet you still can't help believe what's happening is magic. The Snow Child is one of these books. And finally, anything written or recommended by Neil Gaiman.
Nice.
I love a specific wheelhouse. So good. So good. This one's great. So we have a few bookmarks. So if you have seen on our Twitter or our Instagram, the incredible artist Samantha Ralph reached out to us because she had done this great fan art that features me and Bria as like religious icons. I am holding a book and a hot Cheeto between two chopsticks, and Bria is holding a e-reader and a bar of chocolate, and she tagged us in it, and it's like some of the best fan art we've ever gotten. We immediately fell in love with it. And so we asked her if she would put it up on Redbubble for people to buy, and she did. So we'll link to it in the show notes. So, and she's Identigeek on Instagram and Twitter. And her art is amazing. So you can get it on cards, on t-shirts, on magnets. I got the magnet and I got the cards for us. So when you if you win the Reading Glasses Challenge this year and get the Chipotle gift card, you will be getting your gift card in one of these greeting cards with this art on it. It says, "Thou art absolved of one's book guilt." It is so adorable. It's just so cool. I was so excited about it, and I'm so happy that, and just so folks know, we don't get any benefit from this. We get no profit from this. We are not, and this is not official Reading Glasses merch, but we love it, and we wanted our fans and listeners to be able to buy it and support this wonderful artist that we love, Samantha Ralph.
Just so you know, you can get the art on anything. You can't, not just bookmarks and magnets, you can get us on pillows. You can get us on little pieces of glass. You can get us on stickers. So there's all sorts of fun stuff. So if your friends are a fan of the show and you're looking for a gift, or just if you want, you know, a little sticker to put on your journal or on your anything, I think I'm going to get one for my Kindle because I think that would be really cute to have. It's like a little thing of both of us on my Kindle. But yeah, it's a really cool thing. And it's nice to support artists out there who are doing good work.
Yeah, we've already started getting tagged in folks who have gotten t-shirts and stuff. And the art just, it looks so cool. I think it's cute if you need a reminder to not be guilty about anything with your reading or about dumping books or anything. This is a really cute thing to have. And yeah, Samantha did an incredible job. And we also want to remind folks about our affiliation with Libro.fm. If you are a big audiobook person and you're looking for a new place to get your audiobooks from that actually directly supports indie bookstores and your local bookstore, we have partnered up with Libro.fm. We absolutely adore them. Getting a membership with them is the best thing that you can do if you're an audiobook fan. You get to choose from more than 150,000 audiobooks, New York Times bestsellers, recommendations from booksellers around the country. We know a lot of folks who write in, they're like, "Oh, I'm a big audiobook fan, but I also want to support indies. Like, I don't know what to do here." This is it. This is what you do. You get a Libro.fm membership. And all the prices of the audiobooks are comparable to prices at other large audiobook companies whose name we can't say. But this one actually will support your local bookstore. And if you're new to audiobooks and you've been looking to get into them, this is the perfect way to get more books into your life. Both me and Bria have do audiobooks when we're walking or exercising or going around the house. It's like the best way to get some extra book time in your life. And I love doing audiobooks when I'm like in the shower or doing yoga or like cleaning the toilet, because it makes everything slightly better.
It makes it sound like you have so many toilets. When you said that, I'm like, how many
time
toilets?
Time to clean my 10 toilets that
how
I have.
How long does that take you?
Well, I mean, like, cleaning the bathroom.
I see. Mm-hmm. But we have a link. We have a special Reading Glasses link, which is Libro.fm.com/glasses, I believe.
Yes. And if you're a Reading Glasses listener and you use our membership link, you get a 2-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Just go to libro.fm and enter code glasses. You know the code. Mm-hmm. We say it all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so with every audiobook you get an audiobook at a same price you would get it anywhere else, but you get to support your local bookstore. It's awesome. We absolutely adore Libro.fm. So that's libro.fm, code glasses. So you can always email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. If you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. Before we talk about bookmarks, we're going to take a quick break. This This week, Reading Glasses is sponsored in part by Kitty Poo Club. Bria, what is the worst part of having a cat?
I don't even think you have to ask that question. Everyone knows that the worst part of having a cat is cleaning the stupid litter box.
Yes. And we all know that litter boxes, you know, the plastic ones, they get kind of gross after a while. They get kind of smelly because, you know, your cats are using them all the time. Of course, it makes sense. So if you love having your cat around, but you don't love being around a litter box, especially since we're all home 24/7, 365, we basically just never have left the house. You are trapped in there with your litter box. Kitty Poo Club is here to help.
Every month, Kitty Poo Club delivers an affordable, high-quality, recyclable litter box that's pre-filled with the litter of your choice.
These boxes are absolutely amazing. They are leak-proof, they are eco-friendly, and the thing that got me most excited, because I didn't even know this before we got them, was they have a fun design for every season. So we got our litter boxes. I opened it up. Sailor and Lula were clearly very interested because it was just a box that was being opened. But they got really excited, and I got really excited. So we opened it up, and it was all patterned for, it looks like an autumn hayride. So there was like pumpkins all over it. So I immediately fell in love. I was so excited. It was really easy to set up. It's all made out of cardboard. We got the soy organic, like clumpable litter. Super easy to put together, dump the litter in. And I will say, immediately, Sailor got in there and peed. He was very excited. He is a really big cat. So, you know, sometimes I have to worry with litter boxes that he won't be able to fit in there because he's just a large lad. But he fit in there perfectly. They have been using it a ton. The odor control is really great. It's in our living room right now. It is so cute. I'm just like, every time they go pee in there, I'm like, oh, it's like they're on a little autumn hayride. It's so cute, which probably really creeps Sailor and Lula out, but I think it's adorable.
And when the month is up, you just recycle the box and the Kitty Poo Club will automatically deliver a new one to you. There's no changing used litter and no more cleaning the box. I will say, we have to clean our plastic litter box a lot, even though only one cat uses the box. Our cat Malachi is a majestic being, but he has the smelliest pee of any cat I've ever met. And we have to clean it all of the time and change out the litter all the time and do a full take it outdoor, scrub down clean because the box starts to smell bad. So this is like the perfect solution if you have this problem, but also for any cat. I think it's an amazing use of the postal service and the delivery system that we have now. Like, why has this not been invented before? This is an amazing idea.
It truly is genius. So, the whole thing is eco-friendly. And imagine you just get to like toss it at the end of the month and get a new litter box. It is, I'm just like, every once in a while you see an idea and your mind is just blown. You're like, this solves so many problems. Kitty Poo Club is that. I love it so, so much. And right now, Kitty Poo Club is offering 20% off your first order when you set up auto ship by going to kittypooclub.com and entering promo code glasses. So you just go to kittypooclub.com, enter promo code glasses, and you'll get 20% off when you first set up auto ship. So you will start getting one of these litter boxes it took us less than 5 minutes to set it up. Really, really easy. It's something that it solves so many problems in your home. It looks really cute. It's better for the environment. It's just, it truly is absolutely wonderful. And I mean, you can ask Sailor and Lula. They really like it. They immediately started using it. You know how sometimes cats are like, oh, new litter. I don't know what that is. I'm kind of nervous about it. No, they immediately were like, let me pee in that box. Let me get on that autumn hayride. Let me get in there and pee. So you just go to kittypooclub.com and go and enter promo code glasses at checkout for 20% off.
Glasses.
Are you feeling elevated levels of anxiety? Do you quake uncontrollably, even thinking about watching cable news? Do you have disturbing nightmares, only to realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you're up? If you've experienced one or more of these symptoms, you may have FNO, news overload. Fortunately, there's treatment. Hi, I'm Dave Holmes, host of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters helps fight FNO. That's because Troubled Waters stimulates your joy zone. On Troubled Waters, two comedians will battle one another for pop culture supremacy. So join me, Dave Holmes, for 2 doses of Troubled Waters a month. The cure for your news overload. Available on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
this week, it's all about bookmarks, which is a highly contentious area of reading life. How do you mark your place? You use fancy bookmarks, scraps of paper, random objects. Is dog earring really such a big deal? We are delving into this very personal, very individual part of reading. I feel like everyone has their own individual bookmark style.
Yeah, and we did a little, survey on this about a year ago or so, and it was amazing that most people were like, scraps of paper. That was like the big winner, as I remember.
Yes, and people have really strong opinions on dog earring. But first off, Bria, I have to ask a question that has been bothering me for a very long time, and I have never been able to figure out. So as an e-reader, there's that little ribbon bookmark thing on
bookmark.
Kindle. Do you use it? Does it matter?
No, I don't. And I don't know anybody else who does, but maybe people do. Write in if you do. It can like maybe hold your place. I don't know why you need that, because here's the thing. Kindle, when you turn off your Kindle or close your book even and go to another book, it holds your place. So anytime you open that book back up, it opens right back to where you were reading. So unless you're going back and forth, that would, I think, be a good use of that bookmark. Like, let's say you're reading a choose your own adventure and you need to mark right before you're about to make a big decision. And then you're like, if I die, I'm going to go back to this one spot. That's
do I go in the cave or in the woods?
And
I don't know.
You choose cave, but you're like, maybe it's woods. And then mark that place so you can always go back, so if you die you can figure it out. But no, and the weird thing about Kindle, it even saves it across platforms. So like my phone has the same, if I open it up, it's exactly where I left it. The only problem with this feature, I would say, is that because I never close my books, I never know the title or the author that I'm reading. Mallory can attest to that, because at the beginning of every show I'm like, what am I reading? But no, I don't use it. I'm sure some people have other uses for it. I just have never used. You just don't need it. It's not, you don't use it.
If you are a Kindle bookmark user, please write in and tell us why you use that.
Yeah. What about you? You love a bookmark. You have a scabbard of bookmarks. Is it called a scabbard?
Yes. Actually, it's too big for that now. So I just have
too big in that you have too many bookmarks?
I have Well, because when I moved in with Jeremy, we consolidated our bookmark collection.
Wow.
So there's so many bookmarks in this home. We just have them all stuffed into a mug that we put on the shelf in the library. We have a lot. I do use actual bookmarks. But I've had to cultivate this habit because a long time on the show, we talked about how, reader traveling, and I talked about how I like to collect bookmarks from bookstores that I visit all over the world. Man, you remember going all over the world and getting to go to bookstores?
Yeah.
What a faraway dream. So I have this huge collection of really cool bookmarks, and Jeremy has a ton of bookmarks. And I had to kind of like force myself to start using them. I'm a scraps of paper person. I think most people are a scraps of paper person. But I usually try to pick a bookmark where the colors match the cover of the book that I'm reading. Before I would just grab whatever was around, you know, like receipts, scraps of paper, post-its. But I do have a quirk where I like to make sure I use the same bookmark for the whole book. Once I have chosen, it's like imprinting, you know, once I've chosen something for that book, even if it is a scrap of paper, that little crusty old receipt has to be the same bookmark through the entire book.
Interesting. I sometimes will put like a pencil in there, and I've been known.
What?
I've been known to like. Literally, if I'm reading next to my bed, my e-reader's always there. But if I'm reading a physical book, I'll put the e-reader in the physical book because I can't figure out what to put into the physical book to keep my place. I've done that quite a few times. So whatever's there.
Please take a picture the next time you do that. That is
a
very
book,
funny.
A book marked with a book.
That is extremely
funny.
I use
a book
me.
For a bookmark. That's how many books, that's how bookish I am.
Boy, that's fucking hilarious. Oh, where's my e-reader? Oh, it's in another book.
It's in a book.
So when you do read physical books and comics, besides your e-reader or a pencil, what do you use for a bookmark?
Just a scrap of paper also. Or like, I love flying. I used to use my plane ticket stub.
I love that.
If I didn't use my my phone for the plane ticket, everything's going digital. There's not going to be as many scraps of paper, which I guess is probably good for the world, but bad for those of us who don't have a scabbard of bookmarks, a mug of bookmarks ready to go. Hot mug of bookmarks. I can't start my day until I have my hot mug of bookmarks in the morning. Give me a full full mug of bookmarks or don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me till I've had my full mug.
That's what it is. Yeah, but again, pencil, random shit. The thing about a comic, like an individual comic, because I'm just going to read that in one go, and a graphic novel, I'm not going to read it in one go, but I probably read it pretty quickly. So it's like I can probably figure out where I was. Like I can read over the course of like 2 days or something. But yeah, I'm really haphazard with this kind of thing. Whatever's there. Actually, I know there's a book sitting on my dining room table right now that is marked with a knife because I was like reading
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
Not like a big knife, just like a, you know, like a
not
dinner
a
knife.
Big knife, just a little knife.
Is that just a hatchet.
So when you're walking out at night, if someone sneaks up on you, you could be like, "Whatcha?"
Watch out. I was just like, because it was like there and I couldn't find anything to mark it with and I stuck a knife in there. So
that's like what like the leader of the Lost Boys would do, like some kind of gang, like with a cigarette behind your ear and a knife stuck in your book. Yeah. Like what? Right.
What about you? What about, are there rules for bookmarks? Do you dog ear? You're a dog earer or no?
Well, no, I'm not. But for not the reason people think, there's a lot of, people have a lot of opinions about bookmarks. People have, dog earing specifically is like this contentious thing about the world of bookmarks. But I think if it's your book, there's no rules. If it makes you fucking happy, go for it. Dog ear. Use a bookmark. Stick a knife in there. Stick a cat in there. Stick an e-reader in there. Whatever you want to do. It's your book. But I don't think it matters. But I will say, if it's someone else's book, use something that won't harm the spine or the pages. Dog earing someone else's book is a definite no. Just because people have so many strong opinions about dog earing, you need to make sure you're using something to mark your pages that won't affect somebody's future reading of it. But I don't like dog earing because I don't trust a dog ear. You know, especially for a purse book.
Because you think it's going to come out.
Yeah, I think it's going to come unfolded and then you're fucked.
And then it accidentally folds a different page just to trick you.
Yeah, you know that scene in Labyrinth where like she's marking her, she's marking her way around the labyrinth in lipstick
and
all the little goblins are like in there changing all the tiles that she's putting the lipstick on. That's how I feel about dog earing. Like I feel like someone is either going to come out or another page is going to get folded. Don't trust it. I don't want that. I want a nice, especially like a wicked long bookmark that like is stuck in there. So if it's my purse book, I have full confidence that it is not going to come out and I'm going to know exactly where my page is the next time.
Try a knife. You know, a knife. Just stab the page that you're done with.
Stab
your book.
You're
never going to forget.
You will slice your finger off trying to open your book the next time, but you will definitely know which page is yours. Sticking a knife in a book, that's like a tattoo that I would get. So
I just
cool.
sent Mallory this meme where someone's fantasy is to watch a woman read a book with tattoos and never have them talk to her or who would never speak to them in real life. That's
yeah, it was
meme.
Like an OnlyFans, but it would just be a live cam of a tattooed woman eating from a charcuterie board and reading
and
but not
like,
interacting. Honestly, I'll take that person's
yeah,
money.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a good
I
good
would gig. Happily, I don't gig. Know. Jeremy would probably have some feelings about it, but I would happily set up a camera in front of my reading chair and marathon read and have people pay to watch. Sure, why not? As long as I don't have to take my pants
off. Maybe
that
will be in next year's fun drive. You never know. Okay, we're willing. We have a lot. We have a lot to do here.
It's true. But you do dog ear.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a dog ear.
Yeah, I dog ear when it's my own book, especially. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem destroying a book. It's no problem. I'm lazy.
If you put knives in it, clearly.
I'm not actually stabbing the book, but I whatever's convenient. It's just a book. I don't think it's sacred. I'm sorry. So I know a lot of people disagree with this, and they're going to come to our houses with pitchforks, but.
No, they're going to come to our knives, or come to our knives. They're going to come to our houses with knives stuck into books to attack us with. I used to imagine, like, instead of a scabbard, it's just a book that hangs on your side and you pull your sword out of it.
Yeah, or, you know, in the kitchen, instead of, like, one of those book blocks, one of those knife blocks, it's just a book. And you have books and knives in various pages and you just pull them out. It would totally work. I'm going to make
that. Why is this so funny to
me? I don't know. I'm going to take a photo. I'll take a photo for this week's Instagram and show everyone.
Oh, please do.
Okay, well, it's literally sitting on my dining room table.
That's so funny to me. So what about the other end of things? What about like book darts or like fancy bookmarks?
Well, okay. So those who don't know what a book dart is, because this is not something that people often use, it's a paper thin metal strip, and it's usually like designed in a really like cool design. You can use it to mark the page, but a lot of times they're made where they have like a point on the end, like almost like an arrow. You can actually use it to mark like a line or a paragraph.
Yeah.
So you can be like, this is exactly where I stopped. I stopped at the word at this line on this page or whatever. And in theory, with really fancy ones, you can use many, and it's actually not going to make the book thicker. So you can use it a little bit
Like annotating,
or like you want to come back to the spot again. You're trying to decide, do I go to the woods? Do I go to the forest? The woods or the forest? It's the same place. But you can like, you can choose, and you can always go back to them, and you can put as many in a book as you want. I've never used them, but I like the idea, and they're very pretty. Like I look at them online and think about them for books, but because I don't read that many physical books, it kind of would be a waste of money for me.
I thought we tested these out for the show like a really long time ago. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
No, but let's add some to our Amazon wish list. That's a good idea. Because those are, yeah. they're really cute. And
they are really fancy looking.
Oh, yeah. There's some really cute ones on Amazon. But so have you used anything like this?
I think I tried. Maybe it wasn't for the show, but I definitely have tried using them before. And they kept falling out. I don't know why I have so much anxiety about bookmarks falling out of books, but I do.
Yeah, this is a real... You think you just won't be able to find your spot again? Listen, it is that, like, when I lose my spot in my e-reader because, like, sometimes something happens where, like, I'll press the wrong button and it'll go to the end, and I'm like, fuck! Because, like, I literally don't even have any idea, like, how far along...
No fucking clue where you are.
No fucking clue. So it is irritating. So I understand that.
Well, what's funny, though, is what's... the fear is completely unfounded because one of my weird superpowers is being able to exactly open up a book to where I was, like to the page. It is like a weird, weird magic power that I have.
Yeah, that's
so
strange.
I truly shouldn't be worrying about it at all. But I really, really do. So the one time I tried out book darts, I didn't like them. But folks, we'll put some on the Amazon wish list. I will happily test out a different brand. I used to love a fancy bookmark. Like when I was a kid, and my grampy brought me to Barnes and Noble, and I got to pick up. Remember that big rotating display of bookmarks at Barnes and Noble, and it was just like. Popular, like, you know, TV shows and movies and stuff on bookmarks, and they all had those long fancy tassels. Ooh, I love a fancy bookmark. I just absolutely was obsessed with them when I was a kid, but I had to stop getting them because our cats love to eat them, especially Lula. Lula knows if there is a bookmark with a tassel that comes into this home, and she must eat it. She has to rip off the tassel. She has to murder that tassel. So I can't get them anymore. One thing I do weirdly like is a metal bookmark. Maybe that will be the mix between a regular bookmark and a knife.
Well, listen, I just added metal bookmarks, feather bookmarks, and book darts to our Amazon wish list. So if anybody is interested in getting any of those things for us, they're available for you to buy for us.
Maybe this is where the knife thing comes from, but there's something very satisfying about putting a metal bookmark in there.
Yeah.
It's like, this fucker is in there and it is not coming out.
It's a bit like a metal chopstick. Like, I love metal chopsticks at restaurants. When like they give me a metal chopstick, I'm like, oh yeah, this makes me, now I'm like a robot eating. Like, now it's the future.
Which is weird because robots don't need to eat.
maybe we don't know they need to eat because they only can eat with metal chopsticks. We don't know.
I will say, there's something very satisfying about, because it's just like, you're like, oh wow, this thing, nothing can fuck with these chopsticks. Nothing can fuck with this bookmark.
Yeah.
I am going to eat the shit out of these noodles. I am going to read the shit out of this book.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I will always get a metal bookmark if it's available. So you can send your thoughts and opinions on bookmarks and dog earring to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we test out some book tech, we're going to take a quick break. This week, Reading Glasses is sponsored in part by Green Chef. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable, with meal plans to fit every kind of lifestyle, including vegan, vegetarian, paleo, keto, if you are hip and cool in any way and have a fancy, healthy diet, Green Chef is here to help, including me and Bria. We both don't eat meat. We are both vegetarians. We were super excited when we got sponsored by Green Chef, who is owned by HelloFresh, who we've worked with before. So it's just a great different meal kit plan to switch to if you aren't eating meat, if you are trying to be paleo or keto. I don't even fully know what that means anymore.
It's so true. And yeah, they're owned by the same people. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, but there's something for everyone. You can switch between brands. You can do whatever, but you can use both discounts with us if you use either one of them. Here's the thing. These meal plans, Green Chef is amazing because you can let them do the meal planning, all the grocery shopping, all the prep work, all the crap that you don't want to do. You want to eat healthy, but it's really hard to end your day and figure out what the hell you're going to eat. And Green Chef takes out the guessing. They figure it out for you.
So they have a wide variety of high quality, clean ingredients that you can feel really good about eating and how it got to your table. And they offer contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking. So not only do you not have to go to the grocery store, you do not have to prep things or plan things out, but I mean, you don't even have to talk to anybody. You don't have to put your mask on. You just open your door and get your box. It's so easy. We have been doing meal kits since even before the pandemic started, but this entire year they have been so crucial for me and Jeremy. One, because I am very bad at food and very, very bad at meal planning, because if it was just me, I would just have bourbon all the time, but I know that I need to eat real food, and Green Chef is perfect. I was looking through all of the vegetarian and the vegan meals. They look amazing. This like Spanish stuffed peppers and Mexican pinto bean meatballs and Greek veggie flatbreads. They just look amazing. It looks like you're looking at like the menu for a delicious restaurant, and you just get to pick what you want for that week. It's such a great variety of healthy meals that you can feel good about eating.
So go to greenchef.com/glasses80 and use glasses80 to get $80 off across 4 boxes, including free shipping on your first box. That's amazing. $80. That's a full week of groceries. That's amazing. That's a ton
bonkers.
Of food. Yeah. That's greenchef.com/glasses80 because it's $80 and code glasses80 for $80 off across 4 boxes.
So when you do that, you get to get meal kits delivered to your house, so you don't have to plan out anything. You don't have to go grocery shopping. You don't have to put on any pants. And you get delicious, healthy meals. That's absolutely amazing to me with $80 off. So that's greenchef.com/glasses80.
Glasses 80.
We are the host of My Brother, My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother, My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother, My Brother, and Me. It's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother, My Brother, and Me. The hunt is on.
So this week, we are testing out the book seat, which I'm very excited about. So a listener named Hallie sent this to us. Hallie, thank you so much. Spoiler alert, but I'm obsessed with this pillow. So it's called a book seat, and it is a reading pillow where you like one of those. No, it's not a pillow for your head. It's a pillow for your book. And so it's upright. It's sort of like a triangular concave pillow that's meant to be used as a stand for your book. And it even has sort of like a little long, thin piece of plastic that's attached by a stretchy rope that you can use to keep your book open. Like the plastic will lie flat against the pages and keep it open for you. So, Bria, what did you think of the book seat?
Yeah, it's like a pyramid, but like if you cut out part of the pyramid and then you made room for a book there. And it's
if the pyramid
like,
was a cake in a cartoon where you cut a slice out and take the rest of the cake with you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about a foot high, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not huge. I will say, first of all, foster kittens give this 5 out of 5 paws because this, the foster kittens loved this. They wanted to climb all over it. They love this little stretchy rope. I thought this was really cute. I like it. I don't really need it for an ebook because the ebooks are so small. The plastic little part is a little bit overkill because you're like, it almost is like doesn't hold the book well enough because the book weighs, you know what I mean? Like the way the weight is distributed. So I don't know if you need it for an e-reader, but for another book, this is really great. It fits right in your lap. And honestly, at one point I was reading on it and I kind of like sunk way back and it stays up, which is really,
it really
nice.
Does.
Like you can almost be laying down flat and using it, which is kind of impressive. But for physical books, I don't know. I think you should review this because I think it's designed for physical books more. I don't know if an e-reader necessarily would need something like this, but it is really cool and it's well designed. What do you think, Mallory? I think you have strong opinions.
I have very strong opinions. This is my favorite book pillow we've ever tested out.
What a statement.
I fell in love with this book pillow. Like the romantic interlude started playing when I used this book pillow. 5 out of 5 pages for me. The thing that made me fall in love with this pillow is that I'm a side sleeper and I'm a side reader. I love laying on my side, like kind of like sort of like a quarter of the way propped up. But it definitely makes it tough to keep a book open in that position. So what I usually just do is have like a regular throw pillow or like a bunched up blanket to prop up the book next to me. But this pillow is absolutely perfect. I will say I didn't use the plastic to keep the book open because you'd have to like readjust it every time you wanted to turn a page. This would be good if you were using it for like reading out loud to someone or like a cookbook maybe where you just needed to keep one page open. Mm-hmm. I can't really think of any other scenarios where you would only need one page open, but there you go. But so I just like loosened it and let it like hang down the bottom. But the design of it is absolutely just perfect for propping up a book. I used it a bunch. For like you said, even people who sit up straight and want something in their lap to prop open a book, this is perfect. It's deep enough that it really keeps, because a lot of the book pillows that we've tried out, a lot of the book pillows that I've seen, they just won't keep the book open, especially if it's like a brand new book, it like will start closing on you. Mm-hmm. This, the shape of it is absolutely perfect for lying, for keeping the book without, you know, without the pages sort of like going back and forth.
I just realized that the name of it is the book seat in that it's a seat for the book. It's not for you sitting. It's a book seat. It's literally a chair. It's a book chair.
If a book came to visit you, you would be like, oh, hello, please take a seat.
Take a seat and you give them this.
Yes.
I totally agree. And it looks like a little chair. It looks like a little beanbag for a book.
Yeah. Oh my God. It really does. It looks like a beanbag chair for a book, but it's just so great. I can't attest for people like reading in other positions and stuff but if you're like me and your like ideal reading position is like lying on your side on the couch, this is perfect. Wow. Absolutely primo. I love this thing so much. I'm always open to testing other book pillows. And I think we have a few on our Amazon wish list, but so far this is the tippity top. Takes the cake.
Wow. 5 out of 5 pages.
5 out of 5 pages.
Wow.
So you can always send your ideas for book tech to us for book tech for us to test out to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Lindsay writes in. In one episode, Bria discussed a book that she and another listener really liked. I didn't write down the title or the episode that you discussed it, and I can't find the title based on what I remember. The description I remember, a husband and wife enter into a tower where you can reach the top, there's a prize. The couple gets separated and the story takes a turn when the husband starts searching for the wife. If it helps, I think there's a sequel where apparently it takes more of a pirate theme. Anyway, the book sounded like something I would really like, and I was hoping either of you would remember it. If not, that's okay too. I'm happy just letting you know how much I enjoy the podcast. Do you guys have any suggestions for how to find a book based solely on descriptions like this? And the kicker, P.S. Also, my favorite book snack is peanut butter chocolate chip tortilla wraps.
Okay, I have so many thoughts here. So, first of all,
a lot going on here.
What do you mean by this snack? Peanut butter chocolate chip on tortillas?
I think it's like a burrito made out of peanut butter and chocolate chips.
What do you think they're flour or corn tortillas?
I would think flour?
I would think flour also. Corn, I think it would be a little strange, but please follow up. That's an interesting snack. The book is, just to give you the name of the book, is Senlin Ascends by Josiah Bancroft, part of the Books of Babel series. There's three that are out now, I believe. Hot book tip. The books are always in our show notes on Simplecast and the Max Fun page, but they didn't know
what the title was.
Right, yeah. Lindsay didn't know what the title or what episode it was, so that's totally fine. So what I did is I was like, can I Google the description that Lindsay wrote to see if I could find the book? But I couldn't because there is no prize at the top of the tower. And so I think that was going to lead you astray if you just tried to Google it. It was just like the tower is the Tower of Babel and you can get, and there are better like levels when you get to the top, but it's not necessarily a prize. So I think that was going to be confusing. And so I couldn't find it based on her description. So I was like, oh, this is an actual good question. So we've talked about this in the past, but there's a couple of different places you can always check. One, you can ask us. I think that this is great. Email the people who were talking about it. We can always
we are
let
happy
you know.
To answer your email.
Yes. Two, librarything.com, there's a section called Name That Book, which we will link to. And you can put in a description, a weird description, like the one above, and people will respond and say like, oh, I think it's probably this. I'm not sure about the prize situation, but here's the Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel books. Also, Goodreads has a What's the Name of That Book section where people do the same thing. It's aggregated by the community. Reddit has a section for this too. So there's a couple of different places, but those seem like the places where people are most active. Goodreads seems like people are able to solve them, and Reddit solves them too, and it'll say like solved or whatever. I don't spend too much time on these, but man, maybe when I retire, this could be a cool place because I can figure out what people's book needs are. This is would be kind of exciting.
Honestly, I would happily join you because I love do it. You know me. I love when people are like, oh, it's this book involving this thing.
Yeah, you
do.
I
love figuring out what a book is.
Yeah. What do you suggest for Lindsay on this?
I also really like Goodreads for this. And I do, if you're looking for like, because we do have a lot of folks who send in recommendation requests or look at, they're like, I want to find books about this specific thing. So you're like, oh, I want to find books about towers. Mm-hmm. Goodreads is great. They have a lot of reader curated lists around specific subjects. So if you're like looking for, oh, I want to find a specific item in my wheelhouse, they have a lot of Goodreads, like, oh, books about lighthouses, books about birds.
Yeah, and I do think you could type in like books about towers and probably find this. I just went through like, I literally, because this is the way I find books a lot that I can't remember. I will type in a really specific description like that and someone will have used that somewhere and it will come up.
Yep.
But
yes.
I think if you just did books about towers, I think you would be able to find Senlin Ascends, I think.
Oh, for sure. And that's my other thing is I love, you know, I'm a big fan of just the old Google.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for something like a specific book or something in your wheelhouse because you're looking for more types of one kind of book, you know, just Google, like something I regularly search because I'm a maniac. As you know, Bria, I love haunted house books. So I'll just like Google haunted house books something that helps is if you're looking for fiction, putting novels in there. I've said this on the book on the show before, but definitely if you're looking for a novel, say novel, and that'll help weed out some of the unwanted results.
Totally.
But there's tons of lists on reading website, Electric Lit, LitHub. A lot of libraries will have posts or blogs on their website that feature lists of books around a specific subject, which is really great, or a specific type of author or a specific type of setting, because librarians are, you know, the greatest people on earth. So if you're looking for stuff like this, definitely do an old Google search. Get on the Goog.
Yeah, I'm looking for books about towers to see if you can find it. I think it is going to come up here, but you're going to have to do a deep dive. So I think in this situation, you kind of did the best thing, which is to actually email the people who were talking about it, because we're going to remember. Because we will remember this saga with the Senlin Ascend books.
Yeah, and I will say normally when you Google things, the funny thing is that Google itself will bring up like a list of books. Most of the time, it's not a good list.
Yeah, it's so true. The list at the top, it's usually not relevant at all.
It's just not, I don't know what sort of weird algorithm, but the lists, the actual like, the links underneath it are usually great. You know what, Bria? I will say, I just Googled novels about towers. The first list that comes up, the very first thing is the Tower of Babel books.
Really? Really? Oh, you're right, it does. Oh, cool, yeah, like a Barnes & Noble page. You're right, that's great.
Yep. Using the word novel is really magical. It helps you out a lot.
Yeah. We cracked Google.
So if you want to solve your reader problem, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank Danielle and Kathy and Jessica, who run our Facebook group, and Chrissy and Rachel, who moderate our Goodreads page. Remember, if you want to buy Reading Glasses tote bags and shirts and stickers and bookmarks in the Maximum Fun store, there's a link in the show notes. And if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It's really great for us. It helps us reach more readers. We're still trying to figure out what to do for 1,000 because we're still also fulfilling all of our Maximum Fun Drive rewards, which is a lot this year because you folks are amazing and unlocked a ton of rewards. So if you have an idea for something that we can do now that we've hit 1,000 reviews, email it over. We want to do something exciting. And you can send that to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at readinggpodcast, on Instagram at readingglassespodcast. And you can always follow along on our bookish adventures using the general hashtag readingglassespodcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks for reading.